I believe with all my heart Jonah died in the fish's belly for 3 days. Then I believe the fish swam up on the beach and kicked him out, and he walked out, and God raised him from the dead. But I'm sure he must have stunk, had reeds around his neck and everything else. Who knows what he looked like? But he walked through that city and said, "Repent, or God's going to destroy this city in 40 days. Let me tell you, he got their attention. And everybody from the king down fasted and prayed and asked God to forgive them. And he did, and restored that city for another 100 years. But he says here that Sodom and Gomorrah, if they had seen these things, they would have repented, and Sodom and Gomorrah would have remained until this day. And then in Matthew chapter 10, verse 15, he said, "Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city." Now, he knew that the day of judgment for Sodom and Gomorrah is coming, and it's still coming. And he said it's going to be more tolerable for them than it will for these Pharisees and Sadducees, because they've seen these great things and they refuse to repent. Luke chapter 20, verse 40 says, "Beware of the scribes who desire to walk in long robes and love greeting in the markets and the high seats in the synagogues and the chief rooms at feast, which devour widows' houses, and for a show make long prayers, the same shall receive greater damnation." Now think about that. Here is a group of people, scribes and Pharisees. These are people that pray and do all kinds of religious things. You would think we got a bunch of fantastic Christian or godly people here. But God says something different. He said these people, they love these meetings in the markets, and they seek the high seats in the synagogues and in the chief rooms at the feast and all these things. He said they devour widows' houses. What do you think that means? Okay, these guys are loaning money to these poor little widows, and they miss a payment or two, and they go out there and kick them out and bring back in their house and sell it to somebody else. Kick the widows out. They have no place to go. "Which devour widows' houses and for a show make long prayers." Now, we're standing out there on the street corners praying these long prayers, but yet when they get through praying, they go down there and say, "You owe me 2 months on this house." "I'm sorry, sir, but I just can't pay you right now, but I'll have the money in 2 weeks. That's too long. Forget it. You're out. We're repossessing your home. Get out." And they kick them out. Devouring their homes and then making these long prayers. He said the same shall receive a greater damnation in the lake of fire. Aren't they doing some terrible things? I don't want to be one of those people. I'd rather be giving that widow money to help her than to be stealing her house from her. Because God says that greater would be the damnation in the fiery pits of hell. Matthew chapter 18, verse 6, he said, "But if any of you causes one of these little ones who trust in me to lose his faith." Now, if you got somebody, a small person that trusts in Jesus, and you tell them some kind of a story or something that causes them to lose their faith in Christ, look what he says. "But if any of you cause one of these little ones who trust in me to lose his faith, it would be better for you to have a rock tied to your neck and be thrown into the sea." Most people don't believe God would do these kind of things, but he says he will. He says, "Woe upon the world for all its evil." Woe upon all the world for all its evil. Because temptation to do wrong is inevitable. It's there. "But woe to the man who does the tempting." Woe to that man who does the tempting. If you're out there and you're a tempter, you are in big trouble. You're set for the judgment of God. "So if your hand or foot causes you to sin." cut it off and throw it away. You think, goodness, he couldn't literally mean that. But what did he say? If your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter heaven crippled than to be in hell with both of your hands and feet. And if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. Gouge it out and throw it away. Better to enter heaven with one eye than to be in hell with two. It's something to think about. What the Lord is telling us to do here, how we're supposed to... This book has a lot of requirements. It is not easy to walk in the requirements of this book. And if you don't get this thing down and read and study this book, you will most definitely not be able to walk in obedience to this word. If your eye causes you to sin, what if you got an evil roaming eye, like the Lord said? What if you're a man, and every time a pretty woman walks by, all you can do is look at her? You know, your eye is causing you to sin. God said it'd be better for you to cut them out than it would be to continue in that sin. Now, if you have eyes to see, don't look at things to meditate on them, to sin, meditating on them. You know, it's not anything wrong with when you look and you see men or women, and if you notice one's extremely beautiful, just a glance. But don't sit there and meditate on those things. Don't look at pornography. That will cause you to sin. That will open the door to the devil. Any Christian, when pornography is put in front of them, if you see it on the internet or whatever you do, immediately close it. If you see something on television, immediately get rid of it and turn it off and go to something else. Don't continue to meditate on the things of the world. It'll destroy you. The Lord says it's better for you if your eye causes you to sin. It's better to gouge that eye out and throw it away than it is to enter hell with two eyes. Wow. He says, woe to you Pharisees and you other religious leaders. Matthew 23:12. But to those who think themselves great shall be disappointed and humbled. And those who humble themselves shall be exalted. If you humble yourself, you will be exalted. But if you think you're somebody, then you got a problem. Woe to you, Pharisees, and you other religious leaders, you hypocrites, for you won't let others enter the kingdom of heaven and won't go in yourselves, and you pretend to be holy with all your long public prayers in the streets while you are evicting widows from their homes. You hypocrites. You hypocrites. Think about what the Lord's saying there. You are a hypocrite. If you're doing these things, what are we supposed to be doing to the widows? We're supposed to be helping them, not evicting them from their homes. If we get a widow in the church that can't make it, then we as a church should get together and help her out. But now there, in the Word of God, Paul told us there is requirements for a widow. He said, first of all, before we take on a widow in the church to support her, she should be a widow indeed, which means he says she should be at least 60 years of age or older. If she's over 60, she's considered a widow. But then he said she must have been a good daughter of the king. She must have been obedient. She must be kind and gentle. She must, he goes so far as to say, must wash the feet of the saints and do good things. Must have taken good care of her husband or children. And he says, if her husband died and she has children or any family whatsoever, the family is to take care of the widow and not the church. Now, if there's a widow, and a widow indeed, she's over 60, she's met all the criteria and has no family, no children, no grandchildren, nothing. She's a loner. Maybe something happened. She was a great and dedicated woman, a woman that loved God and served him. But here her husband died, and left her with no support and no way to make a living. Even today at 60, a woman can easily get out and make herself a living. And we are so grateful for the era that we live in today when people can do these wonderful things. But back in the days of Paul, it wasn't quite so easy for a woman to get out and to make a living for herself. So if she's over 60 and a widow indeed and does not have any family to take care of her, then it is the church's responsibility to take care of this woman. Now then, if we rely on our own goodness to get to heaven, we will never get there. Let's see what the Word says about our righteousness. We're thinking about these rewards and the judgment seat of Christ. Some people will say, well, I'm going to heaven because I'm a good man. Or I'm going to heaven because I'm a good woman. I don't have to know Jesus to get to heaven. Well, let's see what Isaiah 64:6 says. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Well, if all of us fit that criteria and you're a filthy rag, I don't think you're going to get to heaven. But because God is so great in mercy, let's look at what He has done for us through His Son, Jesus. Think about this. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, verse 19, 2 Corinthians 5:19, to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, ye be reconciled. For He has made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. Just think. We have been washed in the blood. We need to act like children of God. We need to walk holy and do what He says, so we will receive these rewards. These teachings can be yours free and postpaid. Call us at 940-242-2106 or contact us on the web at www.tlsm.org. TLSM.org. Remember, they're free and postpaid. Jesus is Lord.